Are NaV's 1.8 inhibitors becoming an important new option for acute pain? Find out about this and more in today's PureDirect Medical News Podcast. I'm your host, Senior VP Medical Director, Dr. Tim Wright, coming to you once again from the Pioneer Valley in Western Massachusetts. Here are today's stories. The recent FDA approval of suzetrigine marked the arrival of the first NaV 1.8 inhibitor for acute pain. Now a second investigational agent is adding evidence that this may represent more than a single successful drug. A phase 2 study published in Nature Medicine evaluated LGT-001, a selective NaV 1.8 inhibitor, in patients with moderate to severe pain following bunion surgery. Investigators compared two oral doses of LGT-001 with hydrocodone, acetaminophen, and placebo. Patients receiving the higher dose achieved pain relief comparable to hydrocodone acetaminophen while requiring less rescue opioid medication than those receiving placebo. The treatment was generally well tolerated with no evidence of respiratory depression or other opioid-related adverse effects. Although larger phase 3 trials are still needed, the broader implication may be even more important than the results of a single study. With one NaV 1.8 inhibitor now approved and another showing promising clinical efficacy, clinicians may be witnessing the validation of a new therapeutic class that could expand non-opioid options for managing acute pain. In our next story, we learn about a phase 3 trial published in New England Journal of Medicine evaluating a once-weekly oral regimen of islatravir and lenacaptavir in adults with virologically suppressed HIV. At 48 weeks, 94% of the patients receiving the weekly regimen maintained viral suppression, compared with 96% receiving standard daily oral therapy, meeting the study's non-inferiority endpoint. The once-weekly regimen was generally well-tolerated and with a safety profile comparable to daily treatment. These results represent an important step to reducing treatment burden while maintaining viral control. Unlike long-acting injectable therapies, a weekly oral regimen could offer greater convenience without requiring regular clinical visits or injections. For people who struggle with daily adherence or simply prefer fewer doses, this approach could provide an additional treatment option while preserving the flexibility of oral therapy. If approved, once-weekly oral treatment could represent one of the most meaningful changes in HIV maintenance therapy in decades. Next, the OPTI-AF trial, published in The Lancet, evaluated whether patients with atrial fibrillation undergoing contemporary PCA could safely shorten dual therapy with a direct oral anticoagulant and a P2Y12 inhibitor from 12 months to just 1 month. Investigators found that the abbreviated strategy reduced clinically relevant bleeding by nearly 50% without increasing the risk of death, myocardial infarction, stroke, or stent thrombosis during follow-up. These findings suggest that many carefully selected patients may not require prolonged dual antithrombotic therapy. While future guideline updates will ultimately determine how broadly this strategy is adopted, the OPTI-AF trial adds important evidence supporting a shorter, safer approach for appropriately selected patients. And finally, a systemic review and meta-analysis published in the BMJ evaluated randomized clinical trials examining oral antihistamines for atopic dermatitis. Despite decades of routine use, investigators found little evidence that antihistamines meaningfully improve eczema severity, itch, sleep quality, or overall quality of life. While sedating antihistamines may help some patients sleep, the analysis suggests that this benefit is due to sedation rather than the improvement in underlying inflammatory disease. This study reinforced current guideline recommendations to focus on skin hydration, topical anti-inflammatory therapies, and management of the underlying inflammation rather than routinely prescribing antihistamines. It's also a reminder that even long-standing clinical practices should be periodically reassessed as higher quality evidence becomes available. And that's today's medical news. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PureDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at PureDirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions, please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@PureDirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing Medical News Roundup and just ask, what's my flash briefing? Thanks today to Sean Mullen, Norm Dion, Miriam Gomez, and Bryce Sadie for production assistance. Join me next time for the episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.